bringing you almost to the end of the show for this week. That was Catherine Ribeiro and Alps, or Alp, as they would say in French. 1974 from the album Le Rat d'Habillé et l'Homme des Champs. You heard, good God, what did you hear? In regard Claire, Obscure, that is, actually, I got to send props to Josh Stevenson from the Psych Night crew. Him and Joe Turner putting on Psych Night every Wednesday, except the last of the month, downstairs at the Anza Club. Thanks to Josh for putting me on to Catherine Ribeiro and Alp. Started that set with Mandrake Memorial from their second album. You heard Witness the End, and then wedged in the middle from their first album recorded when they were still based out of Chicago. In, I think that was 1967, H.P. Lovecraft with pretty much their signature tune, The White Ship. Anyway, that is almost it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the Catherine Ribeiro, because I've been like trying to track down stuff by her for a bit, and I really, 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 really like that song, In Regard Claire, Obscure. Anyway, taking a cue from Catherine Ribeiro, we're going to see the show out with some Zelda this week. This is Inse from her sort of 1976 comeback album. That's it for me this week. Again, hopefully I will be live in the studio next week. This is, or has been, a pre-recorded show that you've been listening to. Bye for now.
Yeah. was no leaking come out.
I understand that. But this noise has got to stop.
All Bleak cares about is Bleak.
Is that so?
Oh, so that is. I mean, just take a look around.
Bleak brought this from me a year ago, man. This is a rare, out-of-print bird.
Look, I'm a delivery man making deliveries. Yeah, any static, take it over Bleak.
Bleak, two E's, one K. Right now, I'd like to bring to the stage a fine musician. As well, a very dear friend. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bleak.
To Exquisite Corpse on CITR 101.9 Vancouver. This is DJ Bleak in at Canada's favorite radio show. Thanks for dropping by today. We're going to be hearing a lot of entertaining tracks in the Plunderphonics field, and even more so with the best of outsider music and all that. We're going to be also telling you about Vancouver new music bringing some special acts into town in October, including people like us, John Oswald, Mark Hostler of Negative Land, DJ Tapes, Chris Cutler, and Holtzkopf, Scanner, David Shea, among others. So stay tuned. We're going to be starting the show out tonight with a track from the Golden Palominos, which I always think I'm going to get to and never do, but tonight we will. From Golden Palominos' Dead Inside, a track called You Are Never Ready on Exquisite Corpse Radio.
In 4 minutes, you'll be gone. And I must tell you why. When a star crashes, the angels are electrified. And your life changes in ways you can't imagine. When your dreams are perfect, they run like machines. When you first discover you die, everything seems to be similar to mine. When your dreams are perfect, they run like machines. You must change your life. You are never ready.
Thank you.
off like clockwork. Learn to swim the dirty water alone. Look up to the stars, stars, stars. And know that this is your sky now. Lift your arms and go. Step forward and hurry up, lady. Blink fast and whirl over streets. Hover over trees, speeding past taxis. Don't even bother to wave at the children who watch you, awestruck. Brush off past skyscrapers and look in up, up. Slip off the long skirt that slows you down. And don't look back to watch a villain to earth and can touch him. Get out of this fucking room. As fast as you can.
Excitement of night, then leaves with your treasure in cold morning light.
Or learn to read instead of getting married.
Belgian thunder.
Thank you.
Welcome to a new kind of listening experience. If you have not already done so, please read the instructions on the back of the record jacket before continuing. There's a microphone to pick up sound, an amplifier to make the sound louder, and a receiver or earphone to pass it along to the ear.
Yay!
Time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say, thank heaven for a little girl. All little girls get bigger every day. Thank heaven for a little girl. They grow up in the misty light and day. Those little eyes so helpless and appealing, one day will flash and send you crashing to the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls. Thank heaven for them all, no matter where, no matter who. Without them, what would the little boys do? Thank heaven. Thank heaven. Thank heaven for the little girls. Little eyes. hell, please send a peeling. One day we'll flash and send you crashing to the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls. Thank heaven for them all, no matter where, no matter who. Without them, what would the little boys do? Thank heaven. Thank heaven. Thank heaven for little girls. Thank heaven, you know. Thank heaven, you know. Thank heaven for the little girl. Thank heaven. Thank heaven. Thank heaven for the little girl. Thank heaven. Thank heaven. Thank heaven. What? What? Who stopped playing the music? I said.
Remember when you first learned about the birds and the bees? Want to learn more about the birds and the bees and the berries, urban agriculture, delicious homegrown food, solar energy, and much more? Check out the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Come to one of our workshops, join our solar panel tour, or go to our website, www.spec.bc.ca, for more information.
Noise, it has some merit. He creates this outcry, this clamor. He creates this nightmare of noise.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He's a sonic mess, basically. The discordant notes are just a hubbub, a cacophony.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates a disturbance because he's basically disturbed.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
Basically, this is a worthless racket. The man is mentally incompetent.
For the most ear-splitting forays into noise, prog, early industrial, no wave, plunderphonic, psych, and altogether way out sound, tune into A Noise with your host Luke Neat every Wednesday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. A Noise. Music that isn't in its right mind.
And you're listening to Exquisite Corpse Radio on CITR, Canada's favorite radio show. And this is Exquisite Corpse. Just heard Peter Sellers in there from Sellers Market. Thank heaven for little girls. Yeah. Standard Oil CD comic and photos compilation from 2004. We heard the only word he knew was barbecue from the Bran Flakes. And we heard People Like Us in there with KZSU Campfire. Track number 5, that was a People Like Us special track from their KZSU station, which is in California somewhere, I believe. Yeah. We're going to be hearing a little segment on the Hammond organ now. We're hearing Klaus Wunderlich and the Hammond Pops with, amongst other tracks, Winchester Cathedral's in there, so listen up for that. Also Burt Bacharach and After the Fox, soundtrack. Track called Italian Fuzz will be in here. And Fred Jackson, Hootin' and a Tootin', and Hammond Organ in that funk track coming up. Stay tuned.
Beautiful. Last one got him. 30 rounds in 1.5 seconds. Firepower.
The women have been ignored. They've been kept ignorant and afraid of firearms when they're no more difficult to operate than a household appliance.
Post-ammo letdown.
Hi, I'm Candy Chow, and I'm shooting the Ingram Men 10, or the MAC 10. This gun is one of the most well-known machine guns in the world. Not only because it has been featured in numerous Hollywood movies, but also because it has broad underworld popularity. The MAC 10 is a weapon of choice because of its concealability.
With this gun, even I can stop most of the bad guys out there.
As you can see, this gun is really fast. It fires a 9mm round at a rate of 1,200 rounds per minute. That's like 20 shots per second. Not only that, it weighs just 6¼ pounds and it's only 10.5 inches long.
Hello, my name is Julie, and this is the M16. I'm shooting the MPK submachine gun. It's made in Germany. The MP stands for machine pistol.
This is a real gun.
This gun fires the 9mm cartridge at a rate of 550 rounds per minute. That's close to 10 rounds per second. What surprises me is how easy this gun is to handle. I guess that's what makes it so much fun. The barrel on the MPK is 6 inches long, and I'm shooting it with a 30-round magazine. It weighs just 6.5 pounds and has a clever folding wire stock.
Those Germans really know how to make a machine gun.
Now, this is a real gun, not one of those wimpy machine guns.
I've never fired a gun before in my life. But let me tell you, once I got that machine gun in my hands, there was no stopping me. It's a block! I love it!
What a blast! That was a blast.
We started out telling a little history with a little music like Annie Get Your Gun and A Pioneer Dressed Woman. And the storyline developing through the dance hall girl who had to protect herself in various ways. All of these having various concealed firearms. And then into the contemporary businesswoman in a business suit, the recreational woman, a police officer.
We know criminals will always get guns.
The security guard, and finishing with the beach woman clad in a bikini.
Stand back. Okay, all right. Stop right there. Stand back. Where do you conceal the gun in a bikini?
Stand back.
Oh, you're the rest for that.
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect? It's my first time ever fired a gun.
Yeah.
Much less a machine gun.
Hi there. My name is Lisa, and this is the H&K G3.
Fine.
The G3 fires a 7.62 NATO round at 550 rounds per minute. This gun really packs a punch. Wow.
A lot of kick to that, I'll tell you. As demonstrated in the fashion show, even when the firearm was exhibited, about 90% of the people never even saw it or where it was. They just saw it appear.
Now, where else did you find places to conceal deadly weapons?
Firearms.
Okay.
There are lots of deadly weapons. We're only dealing with firearms.
Okay.
We're taking this from a defensive posture.
What about your business?
Ankle holsters. There were garter belt holsters. Midriff holsters, which are not unlike a tank top. And the holster sewn into that. It fits underneath the breast area.
Hello. I'm Chris. I'm shooting the Thompson submachine gun.
Hi, how are you? I'm Denise from San Diego, California, and I'm going to show you how to shoot the AK-47 automatic rifle, the standard issue to the Soviet bloc armies, I might add.
It's a big gun.
This gun weighs 9 pounds, 7 ounces, and fires 600 rounds per minute. The 50-round drum is a lot of fun because you can just shoot and just keep on shooting.
Move the other window out.
You have the shoulder holster, then the standard hip holster, and waistband holsters.
The horizontal shoulder holster was the perfect accessory for the businesswoman of the 80s.
Yeah.
There you go.
What about ball gowns?
Yeah. My name is Adrian. How are you doing today? I'm shooting the world-famous Uzi submachine gun. I can just imagine stopping a group of terrorists in their tracks with this magnificent weapon. The Uzi is a bit heavy at 7.5 pounds, but that gives it some heft and something to hang on to. There's something about having a gun in your hands and being able to control it. I don't know what it is, but all the girls talked about it. Anytime you want to go shooting, just give me a call.
What's this?
I really don't know anything about guns, but when the producer said I was going to be shooting the Uzi, I immediately recognized it as a gun the presidential secret service men carry under their coat.
What's this? What is, do the firearms themselves come in fashion colors?
Well, believe it or not.
Oh, no. We're here at the trademark. The motorcade is coming by here. Just heard a call on
Mr. Andrews, stand by, please.
There is the prisoner. Do you have anything to say in your defense? There's a shot. Oswald has a shot. A shot rang out as he was running.
Case of Death by Agatha Smith.
Now, then, to begin with, there was what I can only describe as a curiously eerie feeling in the air. There was,
she said,
a spot of blood,
she said,
blackmail,
she said,
proof,
she said,
the inspired guess,
she said,
a little wicked coincidence and a little dark scandal,
she said,
an enthusiastic bather, a septic finger, dried up flowers, of course, dangerous things and queer messages, and I was, in a way, mixed up in it.
Then,
now,
she paused, but at that moment,
the opportunity arose
for mystery,
murder,
and she stopped dead.
She would be, the silly creature.
Surprised by her sudden pause, Detective Frank Smile spoke. He remarked. At length.
But.
Tricks.
Stiff.
Stick.
Cropped.
Flesh.
Black.
Blunt.
Touching.
Creeps man.
Terrible.
Whistle.
Bungalow.
Boy. Girl. Dark. Dim. Slim. Someday. Dull. Darn. Do. Oh!
Very strange indeed,
said
Mary Mead. Mabel's husband, elderly bachelor doctor, George Bather, Bucks,
and
Mrs. Ethel, Keston Spa Hydro,
and
Colonel Queer Canary,
and
Miss Helia Plump, cool, well-preserved, drew her chair a little nearer to him,
faint,
with a sigh of relief. Then,
Inspector Smith replied,
we have our little mysteries, of course.
Huh.
So she says.
In another minute, Dr. Clutch Chance was interrupted by a big, brisk butcher, typical in hat. He was. Who'd wonder, he said gently.
I dare say she thought, poor thing, well, we needn't go into that.
He was interrupted by Miss Teaspoon Chance.
A very good-looking girl and obliging in every way,
she said. Hello.
Oh.
Hi. Scotland Yard?
Yes. No.
Well?
No.
What?
No.
You could not?
No.
Oh.
A little gasp went round the circle. Ooh. However...
Aha, said the pseudo-duke. He laughed. Miss Teaspoon Chance sadly paused.
Jane chimed in. Something happened, and in cold blood, too.
Detective Blunt, slightly open to things, or something remained, vaulted motionless beneath. Peep below. It came from the stillness of the blinds of the ground floor rooms upstairs, unshuttered. And the eagerly expected gardener or some white girl said primly, nothing.
He said,
with a smile, suavely, I don't want this pistol of mine to go off. And now,
I began to believe that the only policy was a bold one,
he said. He drew her deftly inside an establishment of the kind indicated, and putting his hands on Miss Teaspoon Chance, a quarter of an hour later, he uttered an ejaculation of delight. Oh, she said,
I saw his mind working.
But, then what, said bogus inspector, bingo, Blunt.
Nothing could have looked more accidental. Mrs. Trollope said,
that'll be the end of the case.
She smiled at him with a shudder.
She said,
I don't know why I do it, and I knew it.
She said,
I found that out, though I admit it's only a guess, and how wicked it is and all that, but there was no proof.
He said,
I was in the drawing room with Miss Trollope, face downwards.
Several hours passed before he reappeared immediately in a somewhat futuristic dressing gown, menacingly, and disappeared through the door marked private.
Oh, why, of course, yes, that was a strange business. Go ahead, Dolly.
It was after 3 o'clock of the day before, and suddenly, and absolutely suavely, noiselessly, breathlessly, sharply, obediently, swiftly, steadily, heartily, cautiously, busily, lately, keenly, gently, slowly, sadly, and ungrammatically. But doubtless the girl half closed his eyes, he drew his breath, and breathlessly she said,
"Possibly."
Thereafter things proceeded rapidly.
His wife was surreptitiously glancing at a catalogue of bulbs which had come by the late post. But then, again, before, and once more,
he remarked, "It is for more." Which, far, thud, faint, swift, dropped, when done, she's dagger, down, dress, parted, police, horror, dazed, business, gesture, that white in daily, dress, doors, dance.
Well, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Anyway.
Well, you'd better tell it, dear.
The room opposite, the stillness of a step upstairs, unshuttered from the cases in the corner, covered by a man's hair, leaning up against the door in the opposite wall, the position of which was carried out in a bold design, but on the left-hand side there was more red, of a jewelled and wide down, things clean, curious, in a low, nothing, corresponding piece to the missing than there should have been. And the patterns seemed to have got mixed.
"I think I must try and make my explanation a little more subtle,"
he remarked. Pink curtains rattled just across the passage. A bell rang up a flight of stairs and into a room to be at the back of the queer blinds of clear. But this particular window upstairs, unshuttered, in appearance switch deep projections into velvet pile. In addition, corner to the side of the house, pointed upward, dimmed some steps in her hand. The secret wood square box band, motionless, little, typical, several things, is a small, white, underground position den. Dark dot and glared at the guest with lifted eyebrows. Contents filled the room in her hand. Then the latter sat down on a hard chair, looking through cunningly contrived peepholes, banging valuable jewels till the police come, completely unconscious of the fact. Nurse Smith dropped, palpitating sighs, awaiting presently a suitable moment. And
presently the police came at last.
"Aha," replied baffled, bogus inspector. "Bingo." Bailey, blunt, banging, busily, baffled, bogus inspector. Blackbeard, butcher, blitz, vets, board, behind him. But at that moment,
the opportunity arose
for mystery.
Murder.
And, wait a minute.
Then
suddenly, anyway.
Presently.
What? Replied Detective Frank Smile.
Mrs. Trollope said,
"Hands up!" And the Duke sprang forward with a pad and pencil and drew a breath of relief. He strode across to the door as the door
over there
behind them. The door into the door of this stood with its door ajar. But standing in the doorway by the communicating door to the door in the opposite wall, the position of which, as the door opened, was entering up to the front door, the door appeared proceeding. An inner door led in a secret drawer to a back doorknob in the other door, closed in little doors. And there's another door, purposely a little ajar, closed
door.
Then passing out through the doorway, slightly open, closed, opened it carefully, closed again, and opened the door. He paused on the threshold. Then with a laugh, he sprang back.
And once more,
the Duke sprang forward, propelled
right over London.
Mrs. Trollope said,
"A fine view."
"So she says."
She said, "Now look here."
"Of course, it's splendid,"
he remarked.
"Well, it looks like it, doesn't it? But then..."
Agatha spoke.
"As I say,"
she said,
"I was so sure. But,
Dr. Chance clutched Bingo by the arm.
"As a matter of fact, I have something up my sleeve,"
he said with a smile.
"Well..."
she said, breathlessly.
"Ooh.
Oh!
How horrible! Wasn't it?"
Suddenly, after lunch, Agatha said,
"I've thought of something."
"Huh."
"Yes."
"What?" But one word had caught the other's attention.
"Indigestion."
She passed. She paused. She whispered,
"It's her."
She sighed.
"Oh,
surely, dear."
She paused. She passed. She's dead, she said.
"She said..."
"All right," he said. She said,
"Oh, Charles."
"The garden."
With violence.
She sighed.
She paused.
She stopped.
Then paused. She paused. And slowly, but
presently,
he poured him a cup of tea.
Etc. But the very next day...
Suddenly, this just opened... Right.
But.
It. Left. More. for, which he knew is it. One
before.
Why?
Peak, proof, plump, think, point, parallel. Two, she paused.
He said,
but what could I do?
Then, she said,
but you know what I mean,
she said,
I've changed everything,
she said,
and what happened?
She paused. She said,
the result came as a shock to me,
she said,
and the final coincidence,
said Agatha, she said,
with a sigh of relief,
was,
she sighed, she paused.
At that moment, he spoke the last words nimbly, with a sinister relish. It is.
Oh, now, I should just like to say this. The end.
When she comes. Then we'll all have
grandma
dump when she comes.
All right, this is Exquisite Corpse Radio on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. Just heard some people like us in there with Grandma Song. And John Oswald did The Case of Death from Discosphere. Negative Land and Guns, the Guns EP, with the Negative Land Now, which is a more current version of the Guns track from the Guns EP. And speaking of which, this is where I'm going to tell you about the Vancouver New Music in October, from the 21st to 24th, is bringing what they call Copyright Copy Left. Now, starting Wednesday 21st, festival is opening with Andrew O'Connor. There will be Jackson Two Bears from Victoria, John Oswald from Toronto, and he'll be bringing his Plunderphonics. And then continues the next day with Eric Hedeker, I guess, and then DJ Tapes from Vancouver, Chris Cutler from the UK. And they'll be doing their stuff. And then People Like Us during the evening, I guess, with Vicki Bennett from People Like Us. We'll see if we can get her on the air before that date. Sonarchy from Vancouver on the next day, on the 23rd. Holzkopf, also from Vancouver. Scanner from the UK will be playing. And then David Shea from the US and Australia will be playing. Mark Hosser on the 24th. And Yuri Crane from the U.S. Now, all this is going to be at the Scotiabank Dance Center at 677 Davie Street. And there will be a discussion about copyright, copyleft, intellectual property rights, and art with Jackson Two Bears, Peter Hatch, Doug Horn, Mark Hosler, and AHA Rose Band. And Kate Milbury will moderate. So this is all happening in October, from the 21st to the 24th. And there's a lot of information I didn't get to, but you can go to newmusic.org, newmusic.org, and hit the festival link, and you'll see that there. The Copyright Copy Left Festival. Don't miss it. In our Olympic news this evening, Vancouver fears. Now, this is from Vancouver Sun by Jeff Lee. and CanWest News Service. Vancouver fears that the H1N1 virus will take a deadly swipe through the spectator stands or the athlete's village during the 2010 Olympic Games aren't likely to be realized. More likely, the virus will be felt in smaller ways. The absence of an athlete here, a cluster of fevers and chills there, and a little paranoia among those with coughs and fevers. For countries such as Canada, whose potential medalists are concentrated in a few sports, swine flu could also have a disastrous effect on the standings if it sweeps through a team, you see. Podium Canada Chief Executive Roger Jackson made the point earlier this year when he noted the effect speed skater Sidney Claussen had on Canada's medal count, third overall with 24, at the 2006 Olympics in Turin. People don't remember that one gal won five of our medals, he said of Claussen, and if she'd had a cold during the games, we'd have been sixth or seventh. Oh, gosh. Then the spirit of the games would have been destroyed. No, that's just my aside here. And if she'd had H1N1 and passed it along to Christina Groves or Denny Morrison or the other members of the speed skating team, Canada could have dropped even further in the standings. Health professionals for months have been trying to ratchet down the fear people have about contracting and dying from swine flu. They pointed out that the pathology of the pandemic is now showing itself to be, for most people at least, a nasty but not particularly dangerous disease. Hello? Are you just noticing this? And they point out that in Canada, where the average of 4,500 people die annually from seasonal flu symptoms, the H1N1 virus has, as of August, killed just four people. Medical officials overseeing the 2010 Winter Games say they're not taking the virus lightly, but they also don't believe it will be necessary or even wise to shut down the games or close events to spectators in the event of a fresh outbreak. Well, it wouldn't be financially... Well, I think, quote, I think the influenza is an infection that we should always respect. But the last time we had a flu pandemic in 1968, there were two Olympic Games, said Rika Gustafson, the medical director of communicable disease control for the Vancouver Coast Health Authority. Also, quote, it's important to remember that the H1N1 is behaving like a seasonal influenza virus, albeit one for which a separate vaccine is being developed. Still, it hasn't stopped other countries from reacting strongly, even to the point of canceling sports events. They just don't have the spirit. Orchid Spangiflora happening now. From Orchid Spangiflora's Rare Stuff, a track called Rats. And we're going to hear Porist with Meat Supply from the Tourist disc. Stay tuned.
I guess you could say, rat, there's a cracked rat, there's rats, rats, there's a...
Let's hear it.
You mean you don't want us to say the thing, you just want to take their beat, get no singing to the assistant, what do you mean? Rats, there's a crack,
they ain't nothing else,
but all around, what do you mean?
They ain't nothing else,
but all around, but all around.
I'm constructed so that...
That's too bad.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Sometimes I have to reinforce my hinges. Sometimes I have to reinforce my hinges. Sometimes I have to reinforce my hinges. Sometimes I have to reinforce my rats.
Made a line mistake.
Rats. Force my hinges. Have to reinforce my hinges. Have to reinforce my hinges. Have to reinforce my rats.
Made a line mistake.
Crack, crack. Sometimes it doesn't hinge on it.
Flex my hinges. Reinforcements must pick deep breaths.
I'm lucky my job doesn't hinge on it.
Uncomfortable.
Hinges on.
Uncomfortable.
Hinges. Hinge on.
Uncomfortable.
Hinges. Hinges.
Here, what? Go. Okay. Here we go. Okay. 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 Luggery. Here we go. Here we go. We're gonna go luggery. Little underline under the word more. We're gonna go. Here we go. Here we go. point. We're gonna go right on.
Too bad. Obliterating the.
Gee, let me get into.
Here we go.
This is Bill White with a science report. An Israeli scientist has developed an unusual method to make meat taste better. First, put a kilogram or more of firm meat in a container filled with water. Add a small amount of explosives. Then mix carefully and explode. No, the meat scientist is not attempting to destroy the meat. Instead, he is making it look and feel like traditional meat products. His method is simple. Shockwaves from an explosion tear small pieces of muscle and other particles away from the meat. This makes the meat softer and easier to eat. If they eat meat, body heat. Uncooked meat, easier to eat. Bricks and concrete for companies that sell meat. The birds will die too high. Why? The light from our universe is closer to white. It is very close to white. Bill White. This is Bill White. Cokie. 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 Order must exist within disorder. The Department of Agriculture says the greatest threat to the economy and environment of the state is from the poor people around the world. Their numbers have sharply increased, and they have quickly spread. There are many efforts designed to stop the spread and to reduce their population size. Hong Kong has almost 7 million people that will never disappear. However, they are not especially aggressive. People there are made to taste like either chicken or beef. People praise its taste in the United States. The meat scientist is trying to find an effective chemical that can be safely used to transport, sell, and bring home foreigners for food, decreasing populations around the world. One human is enough to provide meat for about 8 American homes. He says the United States will now become a leader in taste. Special interest groups say the best population to eat is the dark kind because it contains the most healthful substances. Africa is an example. However, many poor people contain high levels of a poisonous substance that must be removed before the people can be eaten. In the Middle East, large pieces of meat are more important than borders, men, boys, girls, or political conflicts. Information can be found on the INS Internet website, www.meat.ins.gov. Cokie. 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 Koki.
Poorest and meat supply.
Koki.
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 All right, this is Exquisite Corpse. We are going to be hearing tracks from the Mayfair set, Fantagram, Blank Dogs, Mr. Splashy Pants.
Koki.
And a little comedy track from David Cross.
Koki.
Before we get out of here.
First year economics, math, chemistry, or physics?
That stuff is hard.
Are you feeling like you need some tutoring? That's okay, because the AMS offers free and appointment tutoring for students in these subjects.
Whoa! How does it work?
It's on a first-come, first-served basis, and there's no need to sign up. Just show up with your books and your questions.
Whoa! When does it happen?
Monday to Thursday from 3 to 7 at the Sub Pacific Spirit Cafeteria, located beside the Starbucks.
Whoa! A+, here I come.
Hey, Monday, Sunday, Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell!
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay, how's it going?
Alright, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interviewing bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
The Mayfair set, track called Already Warm. This is Fantagram once again running from the cops on Exquisite Corpse Radio.
Thank you.
Was Blank Dogs there, like I alluded to earlier. Blank Dogs and a track called Epic Moves from On Two Sides, a Blank Dogs album that came out not that long ago. Newer one is called Under and Under, which is very good too, especially if you buy the fancy vinyl version of that. We heard Fantagram in there, Running from the Cops, from the EP Running from the Cops.
I grew wild like the brush in the canyon. I was free to explore. If I found coyote droppings on the trail, I would poke at them with a stick. I managed to poke my finger into an emotional light socket. Around midnight, I was in bed, excited, poking into things, trying to figure out how they got that way. My parents sent me a soccer ball, then later a second ball. I was sick with polio, and my father had brought home a dog to cheer me up. He was a large black cocker spaniel with long flaps for ears and a fat behind that moved from side to side when he wagged his stub of a tail. Somehow I had turned him face down, and I was sitting on him, pounding his back with my fists. Within moments I was in an ecstasy of rage, and there was no measure or thought in my fury. I kept pounding until they lifted me off him. My parents would wrap my limbs and torso in pieces of hot wool that they had cut from blankets and folded into triangles. I understood that wrapping me in packs had to be done, and I knew how hard it was for them to hear me in pain. And then there were the massages. Three times a week I was laid out on the dining room table in my jockey shorts. This went on for months. Sometimes she ripped an arm off and had to plug it back in again, but usually she was satisfied just to keep bending it until I agreed to turn over playmates who were members of the French underground.
Freemasonry came to Canada long before there was a Canada.
A Mason must believe in a supreme being.
But stand back!
We do not seek members.
Go on.
If someone wants to know something about us, we tell him.
What happened?
If he likes what he hears, he might want to join our ranks.
Meaning?
Today, many organizations accept associate members.
But stand back.
These things never change. A Mason must believe in a supreme being.
Go on.
These things never change. A Mason must believe in...